you know that the military doesn't just drop a bomb any old where and hope it hits the enemy? They've done surveillance. They've been watching the movements of the enemy. Don't you know that's what we have to do in spiritual warfare? So you have to learn how to target your prayers, how to aim your weapon where the enemy of your soul is.
Great words from Pastor Paul Shepherd, and much more coming right here on Destined for Victory. Hello, and thanks for listening. You know, every aspect of your life is a spiritual battleground. Your mind, your will, your emotions. The enemy roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can destroy. He knows your weakness. He knows your blind spots. Today, Pastor Paul Shepherd tells you how to fight this enemy using one of the most powerful weapons in your spiritual arsenal, prayer. Stay with us here or visit PastorPaul.net anytime to listen to Destined for Victory on demand. You can also download the podcast at Google or wherever you like to go to get your podcasts. Let's join Pastor Paul for today's Destined for Victory message, Prayer Matters.
Go to Luke 18. He spoke a parable. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. That's a bad boy. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't regard man. What are you doing being a judge? But he's a judge. And Jesus said, now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. So look at this. The widow is saying to the judge, I need you to avenge me. I got a problem. I got an adversary. I need you to get justice for me in this matter. And the judge said, no, he would not. But she kept coming is the inference. And afterward, he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Jesus said, the unjust judge, the uncaring judge, said, look, she's not going to stop coming till I do something. So although I don't care about God, I don't care about people normally, but this lady is on my nerves now. And look at the point Jesus is making. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Do you understand that? Jesus said, if an unjust judge can be moved to respond, how much more will God respond to the cries of his people who continually come before him? God will do it. He said, but the question is he going to find faith when he comes? Fact of the matter is, a lot of us are in a society where we're doing a really good heathen imitation, really good pagan imitation. And unfortunately, some churches have become secularized and they are more involved with human matters than with divine intervention. The church does not exist to be a club for people to tell you what they think. We are not to be a society of people who bellyache about what's wrong. We are to be a people who cry out to our God and say, Lord, teach us to do what only we can do, but we look to you to do what only you can do. It's a partnership. God won't do your work, but you can't do his work. So I got to stay in touch with him so God glorifies himself and moves in my life. So we have to be praying people. We don't have the luxury of being prayerless. Look at this world we're living in. We don't have the luxury. We got terrorists all over the globe now. Nobody is safe from terrorism except those who find a secret place in God. And so you got to learn to dwell in the secret place. That doesn't mean righteous people don't get caught up in some of this mess, because the Bible says we'll be persecuted just like Jesus was persecuted. That's why as you develop this prayer life, we're going to teach you the word, teach you how to find the anchor for your faith in the word. Because if you're praying for stuff that God told you you can't pray for, that's unauthorized request. And we need to learn to target. Here's what I hope you'll learn during this series. Pray targeted prayers. Do you know that the military doesn't just drop a bomb any old where and hope it hits the enemy? They learn to target. Here's where they are. They've done surveillance. They've been watching the movements of the enemy. Don't you know that's what we have to do in spiritual warfare? The Bible says we can't afford to be ignorant of our enemy's devices. So you have to learn how to target your prayers, how to aim your weapon where the enemy of your soul is. And we live in a world where nobody is safe. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. That's the only safe place, true safe place. Safety doesn't always mean that we won't have to go through persecution. Because the fact of the matter is, these people who are crazed with this demonic hatred will target us as believers just as easily or quickly as anybody else. There was a guy on a train in Portland, and he started calling out Christians. He wants to pick a fight with Christians so he can stab them, he said. Something in him. He doesn't even know. He couldn't explain it to you if he tried. He doesn't know, but I know. It's the devil in him. It's a demonic force in him. It's a hateful force. That's not coming. Well, he's mentally ill. Y'all got to understand, not everything is a mental illness. Some things are demonic. Yes, I believe in mental illness. I'm not saying nothing is mentally provoked, but some of this stuff is straight up demonic. And you got to learn a devil when you see one, and you got to learn how to take authority over one. You got to learn how to tell the devil, no, no, you came up on the wrong one now. In Jesus' name, because they know the name of Jesus. They have to respond to the name of Jesus in the mouth of a true believer and follower of Jesus. Don't ever be like one of them sons of Sceva. You ever read Acts 19? They saw Paul and them casting out devils and they thought it was cute. So here they come, talking about, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Speaking to a demonized person. We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. The devil said, now, Jesus I know. And Paul I know about. He did two different words for know in the Greek. Jesus I know, that was a word of personal intimate awareness. Every demon knows Jesus. But he used another Greek word when he said, and Paul, I don't know him personally, but I heard about him. That's what you want to be. You want to be somebody, the demons, when they have their demon conventions and they having a session on how to deal with the saints. You ought to be sure that you are in the category they talk about. Now, there's some folk you don't want to push up on the demons that they having a breakout session. Now, some of them, you don't want to fool with them because they'll run you up out of there real quick. You want to be in that category. You don't want a devil who run up on you all big and bad. You want one that knows the God in you. You want one that knows the authority you walk in. Because just because you're saved doesn't mean you walk in authority. Oh, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have authority. Authority you have to take. You have to exercise. And so you got to learn to tell the devil where to go and draw him a map so he won't get lost. You better run on up out of here. This is my house. You are not welcome here. Come on, somebody. This is my family. You are not welcome here. Not putting up with that stuff. You got to learn to tell the devil even when he get in one of your kids. No, we're not rolling like that. Cuss me out. And I'm your parent. I'm telling you what happens. I've seen some of the saints, Lord, I don't know what to do with this child. Are you kidding? I grew up around folk who knew, that's stuff I don't have to put up with.
Coming up next, the rest of today's message, Prayer Matters, with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. If you've never stopped by our website, pastorpaul.net, I invite you to do that. You'll find all of Pastor Paul's recent messages on demand, plus a host of great resources in our online store, including books and MP3 downloads from Pastor Paul. PastorPaul.net is a great place to learn more about the ministry and all the great things friends like you are doing through your prayers and financial support. And if you love this program, we know you'll enjoy watching selected video clips by subscribing to Pastor Paul on YouTube. For more details and links to all of his social media, be sure to visit PastorPaul.net. Well, the gift of prayer comes with great power. You have God-given authority over your adversary, the devil. To learn how to use it more effectively, let's join Pastor Paul for the rest of today's message, Prayer Matters.
We had a little lady in our church, both her sons got big and grown and start sassing her in her house. She said, let me tell y'all something. The longest day I live, I'll be your mother. Talk to me like that again. I know you're tall. I will climb a ladder and knock you upside your head. That's kind of folk I grew up around. I'm sorry. That's abuse now. I'm sorry. Forgive me for suggesting you should abuse. Don't send me any emails. I've read everything about abuse. I'm just telling you what the saints used to do. Okay, so you ain't gonna knock your big sassy child upside the head. Find some way to make sure they understand I'm a child of God. I'm in my house. I don't have to put up with your mess. I will put you in the street. See, I grew up around folk who said, I don't owe you. Once you pass 18, I don't owe you a bed. At your 18th birthday, let's get something straight. If you in here from now forward, it will be at my pleasure, not yours. Y'all just got to learn how to walk in your authority. Jesus gave you authority. Use it. Point of having being a cop with a gun you won't fire. A stick you won't clobber somebody with. A cop now. A cop. I know how y'all are quick to say, he's telling people to abuse. I'm telling you, this generation, that's why I pray a lot. It makes me scratch. I'm not even itching. Lord, Jesus, Savior, praying all the time. Jesus, Lord, holding myself. I just can't take this generation of parents who just think just the answer is just to be the wimpiest, most pitiful thing you didn't find a constructive way. I found out one parent who says, oh, yeah, I get it. So I'm not going to spank anymore. But they came up with a constructive way. Their child wasn't doing what they told them to do. And finally they said, since I can't trust you in the privacy behind that door I'm providing for you, she had them come in and take the door off. They came home and the door to his bedroom, there was no door. Ma! Where my door? She said, I put it away. Soon as you show me you can be respectful and you can handle privacy in my home, I might consider putting it back up. And he tried to have a fit, but what you gonna do? Find you another address if you wanna. That's the kind of folk we grew up around. Oh, they would preach you a whole sermon. This is still my house, ain't it? Wait a minute, I thought this is still my house. Wait, let me go outside on the porch, see if the number. Yeah, this is still my house. Come back in, preach it. This is still my house. As long as you in this house, it's at my pleasure. You don't pay the mortgage here, so you don't get to run things up in here. Hey. See, that deacon know about the old school. My point is, you got to learn to walk in authority. And you got to learn that God responds to people who are diligent in their prayers. Let me take you to James 5 real quick, as I'm just laying the groundwork for the messages to come. James 5, beginning at verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Notice that prayer sometimes has to be in the context of you confessing what's wrong, where you have need, where you're not right. Amen. Prayer isn't just about external things. Prayer has to be about internal things. And notice, James said, but make sure you're not trying to grow yourself without the assistance of somebody else in the body of Christ. We're not lone rangers. We cannot get ourselves where we're supposed to be. You'd have never been baptized by one spirit into one body, according to 1 Corinthians 12. You've got to understand that we must work together. You'd have never been baptized into the body if the body didn't need the input to your life. You got saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ, which means some of you who won't join a church, you better get that straight. If I want to be what God wants me to be, I need to be committed and connected to a fellowship of believers. Not I show up every now and then. I've had people tell me, oh, I come to your church sometime when the Spirit tells me. That's what's wrong with you. You waiting on a word. You got a word. You ever read the book of Hebrews? You ever read the verse in chapter 10 that tells you, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, and do it all the more as you see the day of the Lord's return approaching. Go to church regularly. That's why I got to tell this generation. You don't show up every now and then. You go to church regularly so that you can worship God publicly regularly, and so that you can be inputted to the Word of God exposed in your life regularly, and so that others can pray with you, pray for you. Your pastor can lead you and guide you, shepherd you in the things of God, guard you from the spiritual wolves that are trying to snatch the sheep. You got to show up regularly. I'm done with these folk. Every now and then, I got about 3-4 congregations in one church. Some of y'all I see every 6-7 weeks. And got the nerve to show up like you've been here. They walk in, they're not the least bit self-conscious. When we were growing up in church, if you missed a Sunday, somebody was saying, wait a minute, where you been? They were ringing your phone, and sure enough, when you came back to church, they want to know where you been. It was just part of family living. Amen. That's functional family living. If you grew up in a functional family, you couldn't just spend 3-4 nights at Billy's house and nobody in your family knew it. How was that going to work out for you? Y'all can't even imagine it. My generation can't even imagine it. If I stayed out too late, I was there earlier in the day, but just got a little happy at night without cell phones. If they had to, they'd get in the car and go where they thought you might be. And if you weren't there, they'd find one of your friends. They knew where your friends live. Where is he? Come on, somebody. See, back in those days, there was no saying such as snitches get stitches. In those days, boy, you better tell me where my son is. Don't balk at it. Well, I grew up when parents would not only parent you, they parent all your friends. Come on, somebody. All your friends were subject to interrogations. By virtue of you being my son's friend, I need some information from you. If you ever plan to have another time with him, you're going to tell me what I need to know. Saints, it's time for us to understand. I know some of that stuff's gone forever, but to whatever extent you can learn to walk in reasonable, God-fearing respect of other people, you better learn to do it. But don't yield your power to anybody. I have the power to say about this, it's a household of faith. We are a family of faith. What we do matters in heaven. And so since we got to answer to him, we're a family of faith. So we live in community is what James is saying. We confess to one another. Don't just say, well, I talk to God about it. Yeah, God and who else? Somebody needs to know the worst things about you. Somebody needs to know how you're tripping. Somebody needs permission to tell you when you're tripping when you don't want to believe you're tripping. Come on, somebody. You got to have the kind of friends who have permission to jump up in your stuff. Your most comfortable area. You need people who have permission. Imagine your life like a house. You need people who don't just go in the already straightened up rooms. See, we love taking folk. Come on into the family room. Because before they got there, you put away all your junk and all this stuff and look like you keep a nice house. You need people, if your life is a house, you need people who say, I'll be right back, I'm going in here. And they're heading for your junkiest room. And they open the door. Flies. You need friends who call you out the family room. Hey, come here. Let's talk about this here. Why? Because if I'm your friend, I'm a friend for all seasons. I'm not there for fair weather. You don't need a fair weather friend. You need a foul weather friend. You need a friend who knows the worst of you and won't abandon you. The Bible says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Amen. And so we need people to confess to, people who know what's really going on.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's Destined for Victory message with Pastor Paul Shepherd. You know, God has a unique purpose for all who have put their faith in Christ, but he also has a plan for those who haven't. Consider 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is our primary calling as Christians, to go out into the world and share our faith with others. There's no better time than now to help Pastor Paul do just that. As we continue to walk together through a challenging season in our history, now is a great time to partner with Destined for Victory in an effort to lead as many people to Christ as we can. As our way of saying thanks for your partnership, we'll send you a few thank you gifts, including one of Pastor Paul's most popular CDs, The Best of Let My People Smile. Call 855-339-5500 and find out more about how to become a Destined for Victory partner for as little as $20 a month. Or mail your first monthly gift, letting us know you wish to become our partner. The address is Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. And you can also become a partner from our website, pastorpaul.net. Now, if you can't become a Destined for Victory partner, but would like to make a donation today, we'd love to send you Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, It Pays to Serve Jesus. It's a great resource that goes hand in hand with the message you heard today, and one that will remind you that following Christ is always more than worth the sacrifice. That's Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, It Pays to Serve Jesus. It's our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory.
Prayer and accountability are supposed to go together. You're not supposed to just talk to God, but you're supposed to talk to other people about the things you need God to do in your life, whether it is a physical healing or whether it is an emotional healing, whether there's some guidance you need. Whatever it is, prayer is not supposed to be purely a personal exercise.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Prayer Matters. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.